Dario's now dressed in plain clothes, dark pants, and a white shirt with buttons open at the throat. The sleeves are rolled up to reveal his tattooed forearms. They are corded with muscle, and the rest of him coils like a whip. He's tall and deceptively slender. I don't think I stand a chance if I attack him outright, especially since the cold facade he presented in the car has cracked open to reveal a simmering cruelty that scares me more than anything.
"Princess Colonia,"
he says without an ounce of emotion. He's stating a fact, and I am that fact.
"You don't give these assholes none of your fear. Only daughter of Peter Colonia, one of the most powerful crime families in all of New York."
"Don't talk about us like that. We're not like you." I don't know what he's like, but we wouldn't point a gun at a woman's head on her wedding day. He takes a couple of steps in my direction, stopping in a strip of blue moonlight.
"You went to a private school in an abandoned church. All your friends were raped into marriage in their teens. Your life was sold for territory."
He spits out the last word. One of the first things a Colonia child learns is how to deny her world if outsiders ask. I respond automatically, my voice surprisingly proud for someone who's shaking in her skin. "I don't know what you're talking about." His laugh is mirthless.
"Don't lie to me."
I remember the feeling of the gun at my head, his look of determination, the way a potential for violence seeped from his pores, stinging my nose with bitter terror and the sense that I'd never been so alive. He knows about us, and he means us harm. And yet, he is like a vaccine, inoculating me against fear by giving me a dose of it.
"Do you feel pathetic?"
he asks. I bow my head so my face doesn't give me away.
"You should,"
he continues with a sneer.
"You're neither as powerful nor as pure as you think."
I remain silent.
She's better off. She just doesn't know it yet. She was groomed to be a king's wife. I'm alone in my windowless security room, where two walls of screens show me every moment of every entrance to every space in every property I own. The trick to this job isn't to look at any one screen, but to see all of them until one changes, then observe how that change affects the spaces around it. Sometimes the change is a break in the motion, a reduced tempo, or a quirk in the way one person travels from corner to corner. But it's late, and the activity on most of the screens is tranquil. She's not like the rest of them. Only one has my attention. Only one distracts me from the overall rhythm. That screen is the reason I dismissed the two men in here. Sarah's separated two layers of her skirt, placing one between her torso and the cold floor, and the other under her legs. Her head rests on her wrists, which are covered by white gloves. She's not broken. The greenhouse was meant to be uncomfortable for Peter Colonia's daughter. He ruined our lives. He destroyed our mother with a flick of his wrist. He did it for his own comfort because the Colonia gave him the power to do it. The only limits to what I do to cause him pain are the boundaries of my own anger and intelligence. Killing him would be a failure of imagination. We plan to destroy the one thing he loves, the Colonia, through the one person he groomed to sustain it. She's not broken. Yet. I press a button on the console and the greenhouse screen flips to thermal imaging. Everything is blue and cold except for a bright rainbow where she lies, centered with a bright red beam ringed in orange, then yellow following the curve of her sleeping body. She's fine for now. The hot core of her soul is keeping her alive. When it cools, she'll be a little closer to where I want her. Broken.